Hello, everyone. Listen to me. If you have come to this little island of Naked Misfit toys more than once, then you will not be surprised to hear me sing the praises of the inimitable Mel Torme. Singer, songwriter, arranger, author, ambassador, legend, no one bit off a larger portion of the great American songbook pie than Mel did, and nobody did it with more gusto or energy. Now, you're perhaps familiar with his groundbreaking Mel Swing Schubert Alley.
I have often walked down this street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before.
But are you acquainted with his truly brain-busting London sessions? Well, get so.
Wherever I go, they call me by name, and that in itself is some kind of fame. I'm good for a laugh and a drink and a game. Wherever I go, they're glad that I came.
Maybe you love his Velvet Fog period, a nickname he vigorously disowned, by the way. But have you ever heard him wail on a drum kit better than his idol Buddy Rich did? Maybe you know that he wrote the Christmas song as well as many other songs, but did you know that he also wrote many novels and memoirs, including an account of his time as the vocal arranger on the legendary Judy Garland show? And speaking of which, you're probably familiar with the legendary moment from that show when Garland and a young Barbra Streisand duetted on a mashup of Get Happy and Happy Days Are Here Again, an iconic and mesmerizing Battle of the Titans, a passing of the vocal baton that only gay Shakespeare could have dreamed up. Well, guess what? He didn't have to, because Mel Torme already did, and he was straight.
Happy days are here again. Cross a river, soon your cares will all be gone.
Rare is the occasion here on the Naked American Songbook that we don't grab an opportunity to spread the gospel according to Mel. And to celebrate his birthday, we present this special mini-episode of Payan's Past to the irreplaceable Melvin Howard Torme.
We are going to jump right in. My guest today on this episode of the Naked American Songbook with Julian Fleischer is my old pal, the delightful Mel Rocca. Hi, Mo.
Hi, Julian.
Thank you for coming.
Now I'm excited about how you're introducing me, because it's so weird to be introduced by a close friend.
Well, how do you want to be introduced? Should we pretend we don't know each other?
No, I don't think that. I just it's interesting to me how you would characterize me in this sort of formal media setting.
Oh my God! Now
is that
I feel
it?
On the spot. No, I mean, no. You are. What are you? You're a journalist. You're. What? How do you describe
yourself? I prefer
yourself?
Some adjectives.
If you'd like to know why we were talking disparagingly about Rhode Island, you'll have to go back and listen to season 1, episode 3 on your favorite podcast app, or find us on our show page at wnyc.org.
I did some fact-checking on the song, because the song, some of the facts are out of date. Like, Copper actually comes from northern Michigan.
That's
and
right.
Peaches come mostly from California, also from Georgia, but lobsters do come from Maine.
Right.
And Rhode Island actually has the highest rate of alcoholism in the union.
Wow. And yeah. Oboists have the highest rate of suicide.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because of the jokes? No. Then what about violists?
No. It's for oboes, it's a nightmare, a non-pareil, because they have a double reed situation, so they have to carve their own reeds every night, which is extremely delicate work, and then they have to blow really hard, which causes a lot of pressure to the brain. And then finally, they have to tune the orchestra every night. It's their job to get everybody up to the A at 440. So
well, that dumb Whiplash movie should have been made about oboists. Are nonpareils also candies?
Yes.
It's interesting.
And nonpareil is a term that I use because Torme used it. And everything I do, I basically have been aping Torme for the
last Well, you're the reason
years.
I have the Mel Torme syndrome.
So I also have sort of a paternal Oedipal moment, because I remember, you know, I used to spend Thursday nights and weekends with my dad after my parents divorced. And my dad's a musician. And I remember I had found Ella Fitzgerald records, like, in my parents' record collection, and it opened up a door for me. You know how it is. It was one of those moments, you know, when your life changes. It was the Richard Rodgers songbook, Rodgers and Hammerstein songbook. And my dad, I remember walking me by the little cafeteria / restaurant he used to take me to, this cheap crap hole called Horn and Horn in Baltimore. And there was a record store down the hallway. And he said, well, if you like Ella Fitzgerald, I bet you'll like Mel Torme. And I had never heard – my father even mentioned the word Ella Fitzgerald, let alone Mel Torme. You know, it never occurred to me that my dad looked beyond the classical repertoire right. where he lived, or that he would actually say anything at all. You know, my dad was a terrific guy, but he wasn't dispensing a lot of advice or pushing me in any particular direction. So I ran into the record store, and that was back in the days of vinyl, you know, where you would flip through the bin and the record cover itself would grab your attention. And there was an album called Mel Loves Fred Astaire. And since I knew who Fred Astaire was, I thought, well, I'll pick this one. And it was the beginning of a lifelong, beyond love, a virtual obsession with Torme for me. And I feel like everything I've ever wanted to do or sing or say musically is just essentially a ripoff of Torme, or an ode to, or a trip on Torme, because that album blew my mind.
Very interesting.
Well, this is The Way You Look Tonight, Jerome Kern and Dorothy Fields. I mean, what are you going to do about Kern? He's the greatest of them all for many people's money. I'm not going to argue that point right now. And this, what Torme is always doing is tweaking your expectations. You've heard the song a million times. Invariably, it's always roughly the same tempo or roughly the same mood. And then Torme shows up often with his great collaborator, Marty Pates, the arranger, with his 10-person horn section, which he called the Dectet. And they would rip these babies a new one. And it's always exciting to hear this song for the first time the next time. Here's Mel Torme.
With each word your tenderness grows, tearing my fear apart. And that laugh that wrinkles your nose touches my foolish heart. Lovely, never, never change. Keep that breathless charm. Won't you please arrange it, 'cause I love you. And the way you look, dear, just the way you look, dear, and the way you look tonight.
That was Mel Torme.
That's a blast.
That was Marty Pates working together. So much information in 2.5 minutes.
Totally.
It's staggering. And you know they were at the height of their powers, and that was Herb Geller on the saxophone ripping that solo. It's insanity, the virtuosity.
And you get the sense that she really does look amazing tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I still get chills when I listen to that. It just completely possesses me, and I just want to get up and run around the room. I can't stand how exciting it is to hear that and remember what it was like the first time that I heard that, with my dad sitting in his chair kind of grinning, you know, knowing that that was it. I, you know, talk about your gateway drugs. I'm still lost in this hole.
It's also very bold. I mean, it's the kind of thing, it's so different than you're used to hearing the right. song ordinarily, that it could go terribly wrong.
Well, that became his bread and butter, was to reimagine these things. And that's, he was doing like the American Idol cover versions of songs before there was ever such a thing even imagined. And, you know, you can hear a lot of Bernstein in that chart, that that's the Dance at the Gym from West Side Story. All those Latin references, they're pulled right out of Bernstein. I mean, the sophistication, the sheer joy of it is overwhelming to me. I love it. Thank you for being here with me, Mo, today. You know, this is the Naked American Songbook, so feel free to peel off a layer if you're getting warm. And by the time we're done, we'll be down to our skivvies.
I let my heart fall into careless hands. Careless hands.
Coming up this fall on season 2 of the Naked American Songbook, you'll hear my conversation with the fabulous Leah Delaria, a fellow Torme devotee. Yes, accent aigu on both first E's. The third E is silent, and here is just a little bit of that conversation. Mel Torme was a great drummer.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
He could do anything. He was like Sammy Davis in that way. He was super multi-talented. And also, you must be aware that he worked for Judy Garland. My first agent in New York, super huge Judy Garland fan, and loathed Mel Torme.
Oh, he...
Because he wrote that book.
Well, he also... Anybody that I know that had personal experience with him, you know, like, on the bus or whatever, not the easiest man to get along with, as I understand.
No, he was a dick, and he learned how to be a dick from Buddy Rich, who was his mentor.
Oh, why would you call Buddy Rich a dick? I'm going to take you outside and show you what it's like.
But he wrote a book. Tormé wrote a book about his time working for Judy Garland called The Other Side of the Rainbow. If you've never read it.
I refuse to read it.
See, this is what I'm saying.
I refuse to read it because nobody can write anything bad about Judy.
But
I will be very upset.
I just want to say this. It's not bad. He adored and worshipped her. But he did have a lot to say about how hard it was to work on that show. Mm-hmm. And I found it fascinating and beautifully written. It's very small. It's not a, you know, he's not out there. It's not a hatchet job. He's not looking to get his revenge. He loved her. Mm-hmm. But it's a really fascinating picture of how a show like that comes together and then falls apart.
Right.
So
right.
I would say, if you can,
I'll give it a look.
Take an Ativan and read this book, because it's really kind of fascinating. And for people like you and me who really adore him and worship him and understand how skilled he was, it's a really interesting little portrait. Yeah. So let's listen to his version of Whatever Lola Wants that you brought.
God, I love that version.
It's the best version.
It's so cool.
Well, this is from Mel Swing's Schubert Alley, which is
one of my all-time favorite records.
Can't be beat. It's his greatest work.
Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. And little man, little Lola wants you. Make up your mind to have no regrets. Recline yourself, resign yourself, you're through. She'll always get what she'll aim for. And your heart and soul are what she came for. Oh, Lola, pretty, pretty Lola. You're no exception to the rule. She's irresistible, you fool. Give in, you better give in. Ooh, give in to Lola, a pretty, pretty Lola. Lolita, 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 Lola. Whatever.
Why that note? I love
Why
it.
Why not?
I know. Mel Tormé, Whatever Lola Wants,
baby.
Courtesy today of my guest, Leah Delaria, joining us here naked as the day she was born on the Naked American Songbook. We've been talking great songs.
My pudendum is out.
Is that what that is?
It's called a pudendum.
I thought that was your wallet.
I think that's a single, right? Isn't it a pudenda? That's more than one.
What is that?
That's right. Like agenda, an agendum. My pudendum is out.
Outum.
It's the Latin for punani.
Happy birthday, Mel Tormé. And that's it for this addendum. Keep your pudendum out of careless hands, won't you? And to hear the rest of that really great conversation with Big Boo, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you park your podcasts. And while you're there, leave us a review. I'm sure it would help us out. We'll be talking Tormé again real soon before the next The Naked American Songbook is a production of the Jonathan Channel, WNYC, and WQXR in New York. I'm Julian Fleischer. Thanks for listening. Tweet us, Instagram us, Facebook us, and whatever you do to us, keep it naked. Unless you're Anthony Weiner.
Why not?
I know.
Nailed it. Stuck the landing.